Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big cube. Taco to go, taco to go. Quick trip taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cube, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go, taco to, this deal legit. Taco to go. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go, $2.99.
And good Saturday morning to you, and good luck to all those of you who are going to be dealing with some very adverse weather conditions, whether you're going to be trying to catch a few fish or you're going after the beady-eyed bird, as I call the wild turkey. It's opening day in Louisiana. Last week was the youth zone, but the big guys and old guys can get after them today. But, boy, the weather's going to be working against you. But there will be some turkeys killed over this weekend, I promise you. I won't be one of the lucky hunters because I'm not going. I'm going to be gone during the middle of next week when the conditions are going to be much, much better. Well, if you were in a panic, like a lot of deer hunters were this week when the news report started saying that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries was going to shut down supplemental feeding and baiting and distribution of corn for deer hunters, well, rest at ease. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission did not take that action, but they did take some action with regard to CWD, the chronic wasting disease, been detected in Louisiana, and I'll run down what the declaration of emergency that was passed Thursday will be. All right, we also have something else to talk about very nice. A coastal cooking series that has been produced by public broadcast channel WYES Channel 12 out of New Orleans, coming to a national PBS station near you. And I participated in the filming of one of those 12 episodes, and they kick off today. We'll give you a little bit of a sneak preview of what you might see if you're going to be tuned in for that. And, of course, if always, if you had a successful fishing or hunting trip this week, we'd like to include it along with your comments or your questions. We'll add it to the reports of our professional captains and our marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real-time into the studio, 504-260-1870, 504-260-1870. Coastal marine forecast, not a pretty sight. You know, you get up on a Saturday morning ready to talk about some fishing, and there's not going to be much fishing to talk about today, but possibly what went on much earlier in the week, or possibly what to look forward to next week, because today, offshore in the Gulf of America, you're looking at southeast winds at about 20 knots, 5 to 7 foot seas. A small craft advisory is in effect on the interior lakes and bays today. Not much better at all. South winds 20 to 25 knots and rough conditions. For tomorrow, not any better. Southwest winds 20 to 25 knots offshore, 5 to 7 feet. And on the interior lakes and bays, the wind direction will shift a little bit as we got a front approaching. It'll go more to southwest and west and lighten up just a little bit, 10 to 20 with a light chop. But there's going to be lots of dirty water around and something the fishermen are going to have to deal with. We do it every year during this time. It's the springtime, and that's what we get. All right, average tide, which you could probably throw out the window because with all this south and southeast powerful winds, it's going to drive water up on the coast. 1.4 is the tide range, which wouldn't be bad if it wasn't for all the wind that's going to be out there. For the Mississippi River, 7.2, considerably low for this time of the year, but it's holding steady. rain chances. I'm looking at the radar. I can't find any raindrops anywhere from Florida to Texas along the Gulf Coast now, but that probably is going to change. There's a 20% chance for later on today and a 90% chance for you Sunday turkey hunters and fishermen. So that's what the picture looks like. We're going to be getting fishing reports from Robbie Campo. We'll talk about his other turkey. He went to Texas, got one, went to Florida. He goes east and west and all over to bag those turkeys. We're also going to hear from Captain Kirk Stansel out at Hackberry Rod and Gun, Darryl Carpenter's in Grand Isle, Mike Gallo, a guy born on the bayou, we call him, Brendan Bayard's got a paddler's report, and Ryan Lambert will wrap it up from Cajun Fishing Adventures down the river in Plaquemines Parish. So stay tuned. We've got a full 2 hours if you'd like to participate. Text me, 504-260-1870 on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's talk to Robbie Campo down at Campo's Marina where they got those fine shrimp all lined up. Robbie, boy, when you get up on a day like today, you know, you're not going to see many people at the marina, but you got to go, you know?
Well, you know, Don, you get down here, it's blowing out the southeast from 12 to 20 miles an hour down here this morning. You know, yesterday we saw a gust up to 40 miles an hour during the day yesterday. It's just been a windy week here. You know, it's not what you want for a Saturday morning, I'll promise you. But with that said, you know, the guys that fished this past week didn't do all that bad. I was surprised, to be honest with you. Most of them went down south, going towards what do you call Grand Point Bay and Bay Lafourche, and you know, running that Delaco side, trying to get in some protected waters back there. But you know, from anywhere from the Twin Pipeline, Lake John, going down towards the river. They did okay. I mean, they caught plenty of redfish, a lot of throwbacks. You know, these redfish are, now that they've changed this limit to 18 inches, you know, all these redfish they're catching are, you know, 16 and a half, 16 and three quarters, 17, 17 and a quarter. You know, Don, that fish won't be ready and probably until, maybe the first of it, or mid of June, I guess you'd say, before those fish will be catchable and keep, you know, be able to keep them. So, you know, it's frustrating when you go out there and you catch 100 in a day, and these guys have been catching that many. It's just what you could put in a boat is a different story.
Yep. Well, you know, that's going to be the key. If anybody does go out today, you're going to have to try to find some kind of clean water and get tucked away up in that marsh, and more likely to encounter redfish than you would be on the speckled trout. But, you know, it's going to end, and, you know, probably midweek next week we're looking for some lower temperatures to come back in here too. But turkey hunters are going to have a tough time too. This is some horrible conditions for hunting turkeys. You were successful again when you went to your trip in Texas. Tell us about that. I assume that was a Rio you shot.
Yes, it was. I killed that bird last Saturday, opening morning. Don, I don't generally like to sit and deer hunt turkeys, but you know, in Texas is a whole different area, man. It's you know, it's a place. You know, look, in the part of Texas that I was in, everything in Texas, you gotta sit with you gotta take a turkey chair with you when you go to, you know, West Texas. The stickers have stickers on them in Texas. It's everything will stick you, and sitting on the ground is just not an option there. You know, sitting on a pad or, you know, or whatever on a turkey vest, it's just not an option. You just about have to have a turkey chair. And I tell you, Don, I don't get out the truck without it in my hand. It's, you know, I got so used to sitting in that chair. It's, you know, it's a game changer, because if you have to sit for any amount of time, that chair makes all the difference in the world. I'm not as young as I used to be. You know, I tell you what, I sure like the comforts of things. You know, that chair sure makes it nice.
Well, I got one of those chairs, and you know, they're almost like a little mini beach chair. They're very comfortable once you get in there. It takes the pressure off your back. You don't have to find a tree to lean up against. Keeps you a little bit higher in there. The only drawback is you got to carry the thing with you. You know, and it can be heavy when you got everything else: the shotgun and the calls and the decoys and everything else you need.
Well, you know, it's an extra added, you know, 2 to 3 pounds to you. But you know what, Don, I won't go without it. I just won't do it. It's, you know, I hunt in Florida with it. I hunt Texas. You know, wherever I go, Midwest, I bring that chair with me. It's a game changer for if you have to sit there and, you know, for any amount of time, because you know, like I said, everything in that West Texas, it, you know, it's got a sticker on it. So, you know, the Ajarita bushes, the mesquite bushes, everything's got stickers on it. So, you know, you got to kind of make yourself where it's comfortable to hunt. So that's why I use it. I use a turkey chair made by Browning. And I tell you, I've tried several different kinds, and this is probably one of the comfortable ones that I've ever sat in. But it makes turkey hunting, it's a game changer for turkey hunting if you have to sit there any amount of time. And it paid off last Saturday because I didn't get that bird till 10 o'clock in the morning. So he's 24 pounds, 1¼ inch spurs, and a 10-inch beard. I mean, he had a paintbrush of a beard. So I'll definitely go back.
Yeah, that's the same chair I've got, the Browning, and it's got the little compartments where you can stick a phone or some calls and stuff in there. And, I mean, I can sit in that thing all day and not get uncomfortable. I've also been hunting out of some turkey pop-up blinds, but, I mean, that's you just put those up in places where, you know, turkeys have historically showed up because it's not portable at all. I mean, you can't move with it. When you're there, you're basically deer hunting. You know, you're pretty much stuck there, and you got to try to call them into you. But congratulations, Robbie, man. You're on a roll with the turkeys, man. That's a really fine bird, 24 pounds and a 10-inch beard and, you know, big spurs on it. That's a nice big boss bird.
Yeah, it, you know, thank you, Don. But it was, I tell you, it was a hard hunt. It's not, West Texas is something that, you know, it's very open, you know. Yep. So it's not more, because I'm a running gunner kind of hunter, you know, so I'm but you know, this time here, I knew better than to go running and gunning. It was sit and wait, and it paid off. And I tell you, it's different than anything that you've ever done. It's, you know, you're not in pine trees because there's none there. Mm-hmm. It's totally different than what we know of hunting in Mississippi or, you know, anywhere up, you know, in this region here. It's totally different, but yeah, it was definitely fun. And I'll definitely go back. Yeah.
Well, I've hunted out there where you're talking about, and one of the things I found to an advantage was the lack of trees. There's just not that many good roost trees, so it kind of confines on where the turkeys are going to be set up to be gobbling early in the morning, and you can locate them. By the way, did you get to use the wing bone call?
You know, I brought it with me, and but these turkeys weren't gobbling, Don. So I had it with me. I had it around my neck because he puts a leather strap on it, and I had it hanging around my neck. But I didn't even get to use the thing because I was sitting there basically deer hunting them. So I, you know, calling really didn't do much good because it was so overloaded with jakes over there. We counted between the four of us, and we were spread out a long ways away apart. We counted over 60 jakes Saturday morning. So I think that's why these big birds weren't gobbling. But
that's exactly what it is. I've encountered that. I've seen that. I call them thugs. They gang up. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of like street
that's
thugs.
Exactly,
there's a whole gang up, and they will run a big gobbler off and keep him out.
Yes, they will. And he will. Then they will take his hens from him too. So that's why
they're no good.
That's why
they're good, man.
Yeah, right. He will take his girlfriends. They will take your girlfriends from you. So, the animal world is real cool, Don. It is cool out there. People don't realize how aggressive these birds are. You know, when it's this time of the year. So I mean, it's something to see, man. And those big birds weren't gobbling at all. They were just hitting the ground, and it was radio silence, man. Nobody saying nothing, you know. So
I understand. Yeah. Well, Rob, hear you having a good season. Let's hope the weather clears up, and we got better reports for the folks next week.
Yes, sir. Sure do. I hope we got a better report because I'll tell you, Don, this wind has got to calm down sooner or later. And look, the fish are here. It's just we got to get – I know, you know, they caught some trout, but we got to get this weather right, and I think it's going to pop off and turn on. So
sounds good.
All right. Well, if you come down, hook the left at the bridge and come and see us. We're waiting on you.
We'll see you. Robbie Campo, he's always there. Campo's Marine, except when he's turkey hunting. All right, we come back after this. We're going to talk about that deer proposal, that emergency action that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission took in response to a deer being killed in Catahoula Parish that showed up with CWD, chronic wasting disease. Also, I'll get to your text messages and more of the stuff you and I love to talk about every Saturday morning right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Okay, we have a text message board that comes right here to the studio every Saturday morning, and we love to hear from our listeners. You can text us your comments, your questions, your own personal reports to 504-260-1870. I got a couple of them coming in this morning. An Ohio listener on a misty and gray morning in Ohio. Well, it's not misty, but it's pretty gray down here in the Gulf Coast. They got the fishing lure stamps we talked about. They are very nice. Too nice for my light bill, that's for sure. All right, then we've got, those are collector's items, I would think. All right, then we have the backstrap stacker checking in from Clark County, Alabama. The wind is pretty strong up here, but we're going to give it a shot. The camp has had 5 times make it to the truck bed. Hopefully we can get number 6 this morning. You guys are on a roll. That is phenomenal for the beginning of the season to give truck rides to 5 turkeys. Hopefully you get number 6. All right, there he is, the man, Wingbone, over there in Wilmer, Alabama. No turkey today for him. The weather's not good. I agree with you on that one. And here's a Baton Rouge area listener says, I have a mossy oak turkey hunting chair, and I always bring it with me. Keeps my butt from sleeping. LOL. Yeah, those little turkey chairs are quite nice, and you can even put some accessories in them. And I'm telling you, they're like a mini beach chair. They're very, very comfortable. All right, I did want to clear up what took place at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting this week, because there was a lot of speculation that there was going to be a statewide ban on supplemental feeding. In other words, that would have been pretty much a disaster economically and to the sport itself and to the success of hunters. Well, here's what happened. There was a deer this year that was killed in Catahoula Parish that had the CWD symptoms, a chronic wasting disease. And in light of that, the department's commission took action to expand the control area that's already in existence. We've had CWD here in Louisiana for a while now. And what this area does when it comes under CWD control area, it prohibits baiting and supplemental feeding in that area only, nothing statewide. And you cannot transport outside that area any deer unless it's the legal qualified parts, which are pretty much boneless meat, or if you get a permit for taxidermy to get it mounted. Otherwise, it cannot leave that control area. That area has now been expanded. The new areas, and listen up if you hunt in any of these parishes, Caldwell, Richland, LaSalle, and Catahoula. Portions of those parishes have been added to all of Tensaw, parts of East Carroll, Madison, Franklin, Concordia. Yeah, if you're following me on the map, it's pretty much all North Louisiana. But hunters should check. There's a map on the website with the specific boundaries, and you may be under some strict regulations when the season starts, depending on if and when they decide to lift this or expand it. But for all those of you who are in a panic, and people were posting all over the internet that the Louisiana is going to ban feeding all over the state, no, that is not true. So that hopefully that puts that to rest. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about coastal cooking. If you like to cook your fish and seafood, boy, there's a series that's going to be appearing nationally on public broadcast, and I'll tell you all about it when we come back right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, not much of a great morning to talk about weather-wise. I got a small craft advisory up for most of the Gulf Coast. Going to be blowing up in the 20 to 25 knot range, 5 to 7 foot seas offshore, rough conditions even on inside protected waters. Brings up a question. Which is the one element that you would say is the worst condition that you're faced with when you're fishing? Which one really gives you the most trouble? Would it be extreme winds? Would it be a lack of tide range? Would it be extreme hot temperatures or extreme cold temperatures, or something else? Which one of those If you had to pick the one that gives you the most trouble, which would it be? And I want you to text me. Again, would it be windy conditions, poor tide conditions, extreme hot, extreme cold, or something else? 504-260-1870. That's our text line. Shoot me a text, and we come back from this quick pause. We'll check out your messages. And also, I want to talk about the Louisiana Coastal Cooking 13-episode program that begins airing this morning. We'll be back to do that. But first, we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. There will be an excellent program kicking off. In fact, this will be broadcast nationwide on public broadcast channels. And I know a lot of you have heard a lot of problems for public broadcasting. Maybe some tough days down the road. Some of the elected officials are looking to defund it and eliminate it, saying it's no longer necessary and that it's guilty of biased programming. But I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of public broadcast, but there are some things that they do really good. And when they do, I talk about the good things that they do, and I really kind of ignore the bad things they do. But one of the good things they did is they produced a 13-episode series called Louisiana Coastal Cooking. And I participated in it. I think I'm one of the way down the list on when it's going to air. In fact, I'll have to look it up, but I think it's around episode 9 or 10. But anyway, this week, in fact, at 9 o'clock this morning and tomorrow at 11 o'clock, the first episode will kick off called Sourcing Seafood, Chefs on Boats. And the recipes that they fix are shrimp and grits. That's from Chef Eric Nunley. And then there's also a Nikki-style ceviche with fried shrimp. That's prepared by Chef Dana Horn. And a swordfish chop with black garlic bordelaise. That's from Chef Mike Nelson of G.W. Finn's, located in New Orleans. Those are some of the professional chefs. Now, this series includes professional chefs. It includes restaurateurs and backyard camp cooks like myself. It carries the whole thing. But the good thing about it, the combination, is they show you how to go out and fish, how the fishing and shrimping or crabbing and oystering is done. And then they come back to the studio, and you get to see some of these mouth-watering recipes. Last week, there was a preview party that I attended, and we watched this whole series highlights, and I gotta tell you, it was one of the shows that probably made me the hungriest from watching television that's ever been. Now, 1 week from today, next week, it's going to be Culinary Arts in the Heart of the Bayou Region. And our good friend John Foltz from the Culinary Institute at Nicholls State University will be there, and they'll have alligator garball stew cooked by John Foltz's Culinary Institute, Chef Jana Billiott, redfish veracruzana with shrimp, and baked goose Holly Beach. And I think we've done that on, we've cooked some speckle belly goose with Chef John Foltz on Bayou Wild TV, so you might catch it there too. But anyway, look for that. It's the PBS series. It's coming to a public broadcast channel near you. It'll be airing at different times and dates across the nation, but locally in WYES out of New Orleans, 9 a.m. this morning. Not long after we go off, you can catch it. All right, let's get to the text messages. Here's some of the worst conditions some of our listeners do not like. Here's one that says gnats. I forgot about that. That would come under the other category. That's from the worm. He says he hates them. Yeah, I'm not a gnat fan myself. And here's one that says dirty water is the worst for me. That's Ben from Mississippi. And I guess that would be associated with the wind. Here's another one. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, gnats. Gnats, K-N-A-T-S. All right, here we go. Fog is the worst. That's another consideration. Yeah, fog can be deadly. And then we have another one from New Orleans, says wind, hands down. What is your arch enemy when it comes to getting out and fishing? What's the worst? And you can have a combination of them, but I'm saying if you pick the worst one, would it be extreme cold, extreme heat, poor tide range, wind, or something else like dirty water or filthy gnats? 504-260-1870. That's our text line. Put it to good use. Also want to remind you, the benefit for Captain Mike Helmer is underway. Captain Mike Helmer, the owner of Phil Robichaux Charters, a lot of you are aware, had a massive heart attack followed by strokes, and he's on the rebuild, but they need some help. He and his family with some medical bills. There are 7 charters that they are going to be giving away in a raffle for a ticket for $25 is all it is. You can get 5 for 100. And now I'm told that the Major League Fishing pro, Jimmy Washam, he fishes off of Pickwick Lake in Tennessee. He donated a 2-night stay and a 2-person charter with him. That drawing for all those trips with local guides from Venice and Delacroix and Lafitte will be done on May 6th. So get your ticket. And the way to do that is go to Hooked on Healing. It's a Facebook page. Hooked on Healing. Or I'll give out the phone number for Angela Caruso. It's 504-458-7844. She's heading it up. She can get you tickets. And if you miss that number, text me, and I'll be glad to send it to you. All right, coming back after this, we're going to talk to Kirk Stansel, get a fishing report out from Hackberry Rod and Gun over there in the Calcasieu area. Stick around. He's next right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And one of the things we're asking you fishermen this morning, which one of the elements is the worst for you to deal with? If you had to pick one, I know there can be a combination. Would it be high winds? Would it be poor tide conditions? Would it be extreme hot temperatures, extreme cold, or something else? And I think I'm getting more something else's than others, and I'll get to some of those. But we've got Captain Kirk Stansel with us. And Kirk, what would you say is the one element that you hate to deal with the worst when you're trying to fish?
Wind.
Yeah, I'm with you. Winds. Wind. Somebody said that wind's bucking the tide. That's even worse.
I mean, you're throwing some curveballs in there. Wind bucking tide is not good.
That's a surefire recipe for dirty water, and you guys, I'm sure, are dealing with that this morning in the past couple of days and maybe for another day or two. What's going on?
Yeah. Oh, it's been horrendous down here. I mean, we're having 20, 30-mile-an-hour winds with gusts over 40. This has been going on. Today's going to be the fourth day. And hopefully that front comes through the night. And, of course, it'll be crappy tomorrow, and then it'll start to come down.
Yeah. So what do you do when you got customers and they say, look, Cap, we made this trip, we put the dates aside, and it's going to be very difficult for us to get all these people back to reschedule. We just want to go. What do you do?
Saddle up.
Uh-huh.
That's plain and simple. Just, let's go.
Batten down and get out, huh?
That's right. Make the trip as fun and safe as you can.
And what kind of areas do you look for?
Well, protected.
Find them.
That's all you can do. We got ways we can get around. Because we're located, the ship channel's right there. We can run when the wind's blowing and get to protected areas. It just you just drive slow or take it easy, and get there. You don't have a lot of options, and you just make the best of it.
Well, it's been a little while since we talked with you. We had some fish kills before all this bad weather came, and fishing was, I guess, pretty much normal. What does it show over there? What's the prospects? Did y'all think you suffered from it? Is it going to feel any negative effects this spring and summer?
I know the redfish took a hit in the marshes real bad, but we've caught more trout this spring. The days we could get out, the weather was nice enough to get out over the open water, the reefs and stuff. We've been catching good numbers of trout, and it's been good. Best in 3 or 4 years.
That's great. What size are those big trout starting to show up again, or seeing those big ones like that Calcasieu used to be known for?
No, we're not seeing those. The biggest one I've heard so far, one of our captains caught, was a 6-pounder, and most of these fish are keeper fish. They're 14 to 16, 18 inches in that range is what we've been catching.
Yeah, it's good fish. What was been the pattern? What were y'all using? Artificials, live, combination?
I'm doing way better on artificial. As long as the water's clear enough. It's been tough to find really clean water this year, so we've been having to throw some bait. But the live shrimp has only been available for about two and a half weeks now. I mean, with all that cold weather we had all winter long and low tides, the shrimp are just now starting to come in, and they got plenty of live bait now. And these high tides with these strong winds are going to help it's going to just bring stuff in, into the estuary. And I think as soon as it settles down, it's going to be good because, I mean, I'm liking what I've seen so far.
Maybe a feeding frenzy. Kirk, you know, bass fishermen have a theory about the dingier, the darker the water, the darker the color, the lure. Do you find any truth to that? Or when you fish in dirtier water?
Dirtier water, I'm going to throw dark colored bass. I like to throw what they call morning glory, which is black with some red and silver glitter in it. And that's what I like to throw in the dirty water.
Yeah.
If it's cleaner, if it's prettier water, you know, for some reason, that watermelon red is real good. But when there's a lot of shrimp around, I'm going to throw the brighter colors like chartreuse or glows or whites.
Yeah. Well, common sense would tell you if it's dark water, you use a light bait because it's easier to see. Or if it's lighter water, you could put a dark bait because there's more contrast there. But who knows anything about common sense when it's fishing, huh?
That's right. No kidding. But the black baits and the dark colored baits, to me, work better to muddy water.
Yeah, I like those dark purples too. Kirk, if you would, give us the contact information, you know, where people can see the dock there. You got a live camera going on, and if people want information about book a trip as soon as this winds die down, tell them how to get you.
Okay, well, they go to our website and see that live cam. That's Hackberry Rod and a Gun. You spell out the word and.com. And then our number is 888-762-3391.
Very good. All right, let's hope the wind blows through, and we'll catch up with you next time. Good talking to you.
Okay, Don. Good talking to you. Have a great day.
Yes, sir. There he goes, Captain Kirk Stansel out there in Hackberry. All right, we come back after this. Let's head to Grand Isle. In fact, that's where our bad boy was caught this past couple of weeks. We'll get Darrell Carpenter to give us the rundown on what's happening there on a windy Grand Isle morning. Right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, be careful out there when you open that truck door. The wind might just grab it and blow it off the side of your truck. Darrell Carpenter's with us. Darrell, how's the winds blowing down there in Grand Isle?
Oh, Don, man, it's horrendous, dude. Well, we're getting gusts above 25, 30. It's been that way all week. What are we going to talk about? You want to know my worst adversary?
I do. I was going to ask you that. Yeah, what is it?
Is that wind?
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. I think it might vary from location to location. You know, I had Captain Robin text me. He says a west wind. Now, west wind in some areas, they like it, but most areas along the coast, west wind is a kiss of death because it means an approaching front and dirty water and the water's running out. But, you know, to some people, it's other things, you know, fog and gnats and I have yet to have anybody say it's too hot to fish. Now, some said it was too cold, but nobody says it's too hot.
Well, Don, look, as long as it's less than 10 and I can go where I want to go, I'll put up with the other adversities. But I don't mind pitting my wits against those fish any given day of the week, as long as I'm able to do that. It's when Mother Nature makes me fish where Mother Nature's going to let me fish. Then that throws everything else out of the window.
Well, how far back do we have to go to where fishing was considered good or even normal?
Oh, well, I mean, I think about that. And, I mean, it's every year we complain about the winds. And I don't even remember what normal was. Because I think if we were to go back and play some old tapes, I think every year this time of the year we're complaining about wind. It's our biggest thing is the lack of estuary. You know, we used to have canals and stuff like that that we could run into. Now we've got to go 12, 15 miles to find a canal. So that's our biggest thing. I've been listening to your show all morning, and we've been talking. Everybody's been talking about clean water this and clean water that. The thing that I have seen remarkable since we're now mostly wide open bay and wide open gulf is how fast our water does clean up. You know, a couple of good incoming tides and even in the last two or three weeks, I've been amazed that it's not taking that much to find some clean water. Whether you got to run east or west, you know, we've been doing a lot of stuff over to the east toward Plaquemines Parish. And I just looked at with all this rain, and then the next 10 days, they're predicting an 8 to 10 foot rise on the Mississippi River. So, you know, a lot of the stuff we've been fishing to the east is going to probably be put off the list here for a little bit until that river calms down. And we'll just have to run west to look for some clean water and look for our reefs and stuff over there and try to find some fish stacked on them.
We've been talking about that offshore sheephead run. Of course, that's going to be definitely out on days like today and tomorrow and maybe even in the next week. How long do you figure that might continue? Historically, how long does that last before they come back inside?
Well, Don, historically, it's running late. I mean, usually that peaks in March. And, you know, we've seen that everything's running a little bit late this year. You know, our shrimp are just starting to come in. Our little brown shrimp are just starting to show up in our trawls. It's hard to say how long it's going to last. Like you and I discussed earlier this week, it's going to last until they spit the last of those eggs out. And well, once they've, you know, once their spawning has taken place, then they're going to start working their way back into the marshes. Hard to predict when that's going to be. Like I said, it's running late already. It's lasted later into the year than it normally does.
Now, getting back to the sheephead, that's the one fish here in Louisiana. We have no limits, no size limits, no creel limits. Over all your years of fishing, have you seen a decline, an increase, or pretty much status quo on sheephead populations?
There was a little bit of a decline probably 4 or 5 years ago, but it seemed like they were on the rebound. Judging, we'll have to wait. It's not fair to judge on this spawn because, I mean, it's like literally shooting fish in a barrel. Once this spawn's over with, I believe, and they start disseminating back into the marsh and stuff, that'll tell us how thick they are. But right now, like I said, if you can get out there, if you don't mind cleaning them, until they finish that spawn, it's literally shooting fish in a barrel. You find a close-in rig, going, you know, 2 miles off the coast, and it's going to be stacked full of sheephead.
Got it. Well, Darryl, we got you on my website if people want to find out how to get in touch with you. But why don't you tell us about your website and your phone number if people are interested in coming down to Grand Isle and telling them what's available as far as dates and times and what they can catch.
Oh, yes, sir. Like I said, I'm on DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, or you can do RealScreamers.com, or just pick up the phone. Like I said, last week we certainly had more time than usual to talk fishing. 225-937-6288.
All right, my friend. Good talking to you as always. We'll catch up with you next week, hopefully on a less windy situation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Don. Y'all have a good day.
All righty. There he goes, Captain Darryl Carpenter. All right, when we come back, I'm going to get back to our text board. I'm getting a lot of response on what is your one worst enemy when you're going out fishing. Here's an interesting one that hadn't been brought up. It says, fishing from a kayak has many issues with the weather, the worst being lightning. How about that? Yeah, that's a bad one. Then extreme cold. The rest can be dealt with differing results. Remember, safety's primary. Fishing is the sport and not life support. I love that. Maybe I'll steal that from the Lafayette Yakker. Thanks for texting us. All right, we got more of them coming in from the Snake Doctor. And one that's kind of a surprise about the maybe possibly the worst enemy you face when you're trying to get out and fish. All right, tell us yours, 504-260-1870. We'll find out what it is for Mike Gallo, Brendan Bayard, and Ryan Lambert when we come back after the top of the hour break, where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.